December 13th, 1850. Paris, Maine. Letter to Reuben and Belinda Loveland. A letter to personal friends containing news and spiritual encouragement. Dear brother and sister Loveland, we have waited some time for an answer to our last, but as none comes, we write again, fearing you have not received it. We are all quite well in body, and tolerable free in mind. We have trials, I assure you, with all the people of God, and we have made up our minds for them, but let come what will, we are determined to tread the narrow, thorny pathway. Our last conference was one of deep interest. Two were dug from beneath the rubbish. The present truth was presented in its clear light, and it found way to the hearts of the erring. Before the meeting closed, all were upon their knees. Some were crying for mercy that had been cold-hearted and indifferent. Others were begging for a closer walk with God and for salvation. It was a powerful time as I ever witnessed. The slaying power of God was in our midst. Shouts of victory filled the dwelling. The saints here seemed to be rising and growing in grace and the knowledge of the truth. Are you free in Johnson, Vermont? Does God manifest himself to you? Are the dead weights shaken off? You, of course, have nothing to do with Terry. Do not have him in your house. There is something about that man, Black, that he did not confess at the conference. He is unclean, unholy in the sight of God. And if you have him in your house, you will be unclean, because he is a dead body. The power of Satan is very great, and Terry will make a complete agent for Satan to work through to destroy you all. He may appear to break down and be humble, but it is forever too late for him. God showed me at the conference that the last ray of light was taken from him, and that he would visit him with his judgments. Cut loose entirely from every dead weight and every fornicator. Oh, what a time this is! Oh, how carefully do we need to walk before God! Time is almost finished. Oh, do be free. Make one mighty struggle for victory, and you will have it. I warn all of you to ply the oar, and every one row his own boat upstream. The wind and tide is against us. Multitudes are going downstream, and we, if we enter the port of glory, must press our way through the multitudes and row for our life, eternal life, upstream. Will we row? One cannot row another's boat. We must strive for heaven with all our might. Every one has a part to act and something to do in the cause of God. None of you should keep silent in your meetings. Surely every one who has tasted of the powers of the world to come can say something in honor of the lovely Jesus. Eternal life we are striving for. Shall we get discouraged? No, no. The riches of Eden are before us, and we must pass through the strait if we would enter the wide. Let us double our diligence to make our calling and election sure. Victory, victory will be ours if we endure a little longer. I do beg and pray to be more like Jesus, that I may reflect his lovely image. More and more I long to be filled with all the fullness of God. It is our privilege to rejoice in a whole Savior, one that saves us from all sin. We will not rest unless we know the length and breadth, height and depth of perfect love. I expect you are buffeted by the enemy. Do not yield one inch to him. Let faith be in lively exercise. Let it enter within the second veil and take hold upon the most excellent glory. Dear Brother Rhodes, Samuel W. Rhodes, was with us in our last conference. It was good to see his face once more, and cheering to hear him talk the plain, cutting truth of God from the Bible. How plain our position is. We know that we have the truth. Brother Rhodes has now gone in company with Brother John Andrews, John Nevins Andrews, to the eastern part of the state to hunt up the scattered sheep. We have received two letters from them. God is at work and is bringing souls from the rubbish to the clear light of truth. We have received cheering letters from different places. God is with Israel. I had the privilege of being with my oldest boy, Henry Nichols White, 2 weeks. He is a lovely dispositioned boy. He became so attached to his mother, it was hard to be separated from him. But as our time is all employed in writing and folding and wrapping papers, I am denied the privilege of having his company. My other little one, James Edson White, is many hundred miles from me. Sometimes Satan tempts me to complain and think my lot is a hard one. But I will not harbor this temptation. I should not want to live unless I could live to do some good to others. I want all self to die. I have this consolation that God is pleased with my sacrifice, that of offering up my children to Him. Do pray for me. I need much grace to perform my duty faithfully and deliver the straight messages that God lays upon me to deliver. I wish I could see you. I have much I should love to say to you, but I cannot write much. Love to your eldest daughter. Tell her to be of good courage and hope in God, and His arm will hold her up and protect her from the tempter's power. Oh, tell her to have faith and rejoice in God. Much love to the one at home. Tell her to look to Jesus and take up her cross, for unless she bears the cross, she cannot wear the crown. Love to all the dear saints. Tell them to walk carefully before God. Tread in the footsteps of Jesus. When I wrote you last, I was bound in spirit. I had no liberty. I could not tell the reason I was not free before I commenced to write. Perhaps I ought not to have written. I hear, by the by, that Mrs. Foster has gone to live with her husband. Was she right? James and self felt that she was wrong. He told me that he could have no communion with her, neither could I. But I told him she must be good, for you had perfect confidence in her. I felt that she was in the way when Brother Rhodes was healed. Do rid yourselves of every hindrance and go free. God wants you to be free. We love you and hope you come off victorious. Heaven is cheap enough. Look away from this dark, dark earth to the riches of Eden. I have got a glimpse of what God is preparing for His children, and it has spoiled this world for me. Everything here looks desolate and dreary. The glorious charms of heaven attract my soul above. Oh, what could we poor mortals do without a God? We do not deserve the least of His notice. What can it be that the High and Lofty One, He who taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and the nations before Him are as but a drop in the bucket? Yet He condescends to us, who are as the small dust of the balance. Yes, even the hairs of our head are numbered. Oh, let us humble ourselves before the mighty God of Jacob. Thanks be to God for His goodness to such poor worms. I do love Jesus. He is my all and in all. I do love Him with my whole soul, and my very being cries out after the living God. Stem the current a little longer. Press your way to the kingdom. James sends love to you all that love God in sincerity and truth. He joins with me in the above. Pray for me. In much love, E.G. White. Be sure, and just as soon as you get this, write us all the particulars, how you are. Do not forget to answer this immediately.